Hi, everyone. Dan Cassidy here. Welcome back to the Washington Weekly Podcast on the UBS In The Now podcast channel. Joining us for our first episode of 2025, glad to welcome back Shane Lieberman, Senior Governmental Affairs Advisor with Governmental Affairs U.S. here at UBS. With that, Shane, welcome back. Happy New Year. Hope you enjoyed the holidays. And thank you for dropping by to spend some time today with our listeners and clients. Great to be back.
Thanks, Dan. Happy New Year. Good to be back with you.
So, Shane, heading into 2025, of course, a lot of anticipation over the incoming Trump administration. Now, with the 2024 election result now certified, this was as of yesterday, Monday, January 6th. We have Inauguration Day at this point, less than 2 weeks away. What can we expect to see over the first 100 days of President-elect Trump's second term?
Yeah, so, you know, as you point out, you know, President Trump has been certified as the winner. And so between now and the inauguration, you know, the Trump team will continue to prepare for that first 100 days in office, trying to have a successful first 100 days. And because that's, you know, sometimes how they internally measure themselves, and we, the American voters, often measure a presidency is by, you know, meeting the promises and how quickly you can do it. And I think that's something from President Trump's first term that he was frustrated about, was the pace of Congress and what he was able to do was slower than he would have liked. So I think he's going to try and act very swiftly. Now, that doesn't mean that he'll be able to. You know, I think some of the hurdles still exist about, you know, Congress's pace, which they will work hard to try and move quickly. But, you know, I think you'll see a mix of things like executive actions from President Trump dealing with immigration, tariff issues will be headline issues. At the same time, he'll be working with Congress on those issues and more. And what is also kind of hanging out there is that in March, government funding expires. So that will be a time consumer from the legislative perspective. And he'll have to work with lawmakers to ensure that the government doesn't shut down in his first 100 days in office in his second term here. So they have a lot of work on their plate, and they'll be very aggressive in pushing forward.
So from the sounds of it, there will be a lot of coordination, collaboration between the White House and Congress. I recall late last week on Friday, the House voted back in Mike Johnson as House Speaker, with both houses of Congress now controlled by the GOP. What will be some of the legislative priorities in the months ahead?
Yeah, you know, the election of Mike Johnson as Speaker had a little drama to it, but it ended a little bit quicker than most anticipated. So, you know, that helps resolve the issue and allows Republican leaders to focus on the task at hand. Obviously, immigration, as I mentioned, and tariffs. But to your point, there are a number of other issues that Republicans are going to be pursuing, you know, from energy reforms, specifically, you know, permitting rules to try and speed up the pipeline of projects. And, you know, so we don't keep hearing about projects that are, you know, a decade plus in the works. And as that decade plus happens, these projects, you know, may double in price. So I think they're trying to figure out ways to quicken the permitting process, which will also hopefully get, you know, energy solutions to the public quicker. Beyond that, a tax bill is top tier. Also, government increasing the debt ceiling, right? And this is something we saw at the end of the year where President Trump was urging Republicans to increase the debt ceiling before he got to office. That did not happen because he recognizes that this is a market event. If the debt ceiling is not increased, it would be cataclysmic to the markets. That has never happened. But I think he wanted to take that off the table and save himself some of the drama that could come from it. Even if the debt ceiling is increased, it could impact the bond market. So that's going to be a big event probably in the first half of this year. And, you know, I mentioned the tax bill. You know, Republicans are still trying to figure out the strategy, their current strategy, to do this one big reconciliation bill that encompasses most of the issues I have mentioned plus more. But that may change. It's already changed. Their strategy has already changed several times. If that is the final strategy, we could expect this one big bill probably in the first half of the year, maybe supposed in the second half of the year. And it will encompass all those things from taxes, energy, possibly Medicare and Medicaid, energy, and more. So this is going to be a big item to watch, as it will have a lot of details that matter to different sectors of the economy.
Well, accounting for legislative items as well as executive actions, there will be a lot to monitor and talk about in the weeks and months ahead. To end today's conversation on a somber note, Shane, this Thursday, January 9th, will be a national day of mourning for late President Jimmy Carter. How is President Carter being remembered, and what ceremonies are set to take place this week in Washington, D.C.?
Yeah, as we speak, I believe President Carter's remains are being transported from Atlanta to Washington, and he should be arriving this afternoon in Washington, where he'll lay in state in the Capitol. Lawmakers will pay their respects this afternoon, and then it'll be open to the public to offer their respects to President Carter. And that will happen also tomorrow as well. And then on Thursday, there'll be a service at the National Cathedral. President Biden, I believe, will be delivering a eulogy among others. I believe President Trump will be in attendance. You have to understand, these events don't happen that often, so it is a big deal. You know, they are often choreographed for years, you know, and someone like President Carter, who lived to be 100, his wishes and choreography of this event probably changed several times over the years. I think we'll see some hopefully bipartisan moments. I think, you know, when someone like President Carter passes away, you know, history to a degree is kind to them and tries to focus on the positives. But you have seen a lot of parallels being drawn between him and President Biden's one term in office, as they were both one term presidents. And they have similarities, obviously, you know, on issues like the economy and dealings with the Middle East. But I think, you know, this week will be a good week for his legacy to try and highlight the positives that were done while he was in office. And again, hopefully it'll provide for some bipartisanship and let some cooler heads prevail as President Trump enters his second term.
Well, an incredible life lived and wonderful tributes being paid across the country. Shane, thank you for joining us today for our first episode of 2025. Great catching up with you as always. Wish you a nice balance of the week and do look forward to picking back up with our conversation again soon.
Thanks, Dan. Looking forward to it. Looking forward to hopefully a great 2025 and continuing our conversations. And doing our best to keep everyone informed on what's going on.
Absolutely. Thank you again, Shane. Again, today we have been joined by Shane Lieberman, Senior Governmental Affairs Advisor with Governmental Affairs US here at UBS. As always, I would like to point out to our listeners and our clients that you can locate the latest Washington Weekly publication, which is available on ubs.com/Washington Weekly. From UBS Studios, I'm Dan Cassidy. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for tuning in. Be sure to visit ubs.com/studios to view the entire UBS Studios suite of podcast channels, along with our video offerings, such as UBS Trending. You can also follow us on Instagram for content highlights at UBS Trending. UBS Studios is part of the UBS Chief Investment Office within UBS Global Wealth Management. Visit ubs.com/CIO to view the latest research.
As a firm providing wealth management services to clients, UBS Financial Services, Inc. offers investment advisory services in its capacity as an SEC-registered investment advisor and brokerage services in its capacity as an SEC-registered broker-dealer. Investment advisory services and brokerage services are separate and distinct, differ in material ways, and are governed by different laws and separate arrangements. It is important that you understand the ways in which we conduct business and that you carefully read the agreement and disclosures that we provide to you about the products or services we offer. For more information, please review client relationship summary provided at ubs.com/relationship summary or ask your UBS financial advisor for a copy.